These questions are always raised toward the person who has been forgiven. How far can he go? What strength does he have? Will he make it? He will. God intends for him to make it all the way. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Salvation has shoes for the feet. The new birth is a birth into a new society. An emaciated prodigal comes stumbling away from swine, marked by poverty of morals and self-respect, toward the Father, and instantly he becomes, upon confession of faith, the finest security risked this side the throne of God. Certainly it's a miracle. The power of God is unlimited. This power of perseverance and proclamation has taken missionary witnesses to the shadow lands of every continent. And your feet, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, there's something that makes you want to tell it wherever you go. I'll tell of a Savior. I'll tell of his favor. And I'll tell it, Lord, wherever I go. I count every blessing. I'll go on confessing. I'll tell it, Lord, wherever I go. The gospel is moving in South Vietnam. You'll find those wonderful shoes on the feet of Major Lim. Trained in the military academy as an infantry officer, he serves today with South Vietnam's headquarters staff. President Tu has awarded Major Lim the highest decoration his nation affords. Jesus revealed himself to him when he was a lad of 7. The French impressed him into the army. He's been through the Tet Offensive, where the enemy surrounded his outfit. His courage and ingenuity have reached the highest levels of both South Vietnam and American commands. And he has found time, amid heavy military responsibilities, to pioneer 4 churches and lead a club of 250 Christian officers. This spirit-filled South Vietnam officer is leaving footprints of the gospel all over South Vietnam. And here in the United States, General Ralph E. Haynes, West Point graduate, and today commanding general, United States Continental Army Command, wears these same shoes. He gave this in a message at Bartlett Hall, West Point, recently, and it is reported in the official publication Command. He said one day at a lunch, a man received an attractive job offer from the representative of a large corporation with a somewhat questionable reputation, and the man refused to accept. The man who made the offer was astounded by the refusal and asked for an explanation. The other replied, "I am a man of faith, and I try to do business in accordance with the highest ethical principles, and in the light of that, I can see no way to accept your offer." And the man making the offer looked at him across the table, and he said, "Surely, you don't try to mix business and religion." The man of faith looked him in the eye, uttered the truth that is meaningful to all Christians. "My friend," he said, "I have discovered it is only when we do mix business and religion that we can prove our religion and improve our business." And the general told the cadets, "A commitment to Jesus Christ is an intensely personal experience, a continued awareness that we have surrendered our lives to Christ and have found the secret of victorious living constitutes the cornerstone of our faith. It is this bedrock truth on which we can fall back and regroup our forces when we are assailed by the turmoil and the tribulations of the world." The general, like the major, leaves tracks that none can mistake. God has winners, mister. His child travels in strength. Put shoes on his feet. You're not wallowing with swine. You're not limping with hunger. You're not humiliated with rags. You're not despised. You walk like a man. Each step you take is authorized. David said, "Order my steps in thy word." I know those shoes. They're the most comfortable, long-wearing, with the greatest built-in support shoes available. Paul calls them the preparation of the gospel of peace. They took Paul from Jerusalem to Rome by way of Antioch, Ephesus, Philippi, Corinth, and Athens. He stood on Mars Hill. He stood before Nero. He stood before mobs. He stood on shipwrecked deck. He stood before death and disease. He stood before persecutor and informer. He stood in prisons. He stood in palaces. And he never lost his footing. He knew where he was going all the time. There was never a moment of doubt. No uncertainty tripped him. He walked through Asia and Europe as no man has ever walked. You ask how? Look at his shoes. Those shoes will take you farther and faster than any footwear world system offers. Paul said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. There's a grip, mister, that makes you a champion. The gospel will support you in every test. There's an assurance, that deep, settled peace, that no-so that clings and never lets a man down. It will take you all the way. Now, you name it, and a child of God has been there. A Livingstone to Africa, a Gilmore to Mongolia, a Judson to Burma, a Grenfell to Labrador, a Simpson and a Plymire to Tibet, a Morrison to China. They've walked and no man could hinder. Put shoes on his feet. God put shoes on the feet of Israel. For 40 years they tramped the sand, heat, and abrasion of Sinai, and not one sandal showed signs of wear. That's the argument that defeats all the sneer of hell. Members of the human race walk daily in the midst of contravention in the manner described by the writer of the Hebrews, as of whom the world was not worthy. Moral heroes, heroines, giants of faith, they forever put the lie to the complaint. I would like to do it, but I'm afraid I couldn't stand. You can, sir, when you walk in another's shoes. You need his shoes as much as you need his robe to cover you, and you need his ring to identify you. Yes, there's a walk ahead of you, a course marked out for you. Salvation is an everyday affair, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Your walk is as important as your welcome. But hell has no shoes for you, sinner. You'll know it before many days. The going gets tough and lonely fast. You lose the spring in your step. The confidence tried disappears. The sense of direction is lost. Suddenly you have an ache that can't be satisfied. Hell makes you a stumble bum. And you'll need more than a pickup. You'll need more than a charity scrap from a citizen. You need more than endless tomorrows to feed swine. You need underfooting that restores dignity and manhood. Put shoes on his feet. I have this confidence, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. There are shoes, as well as shed tears, to the gospel, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Multiplied millions have made it, lady. In past years, in the annals of science fiction, we read a great deal about seven-league boots, the stride of the conqueror. And God fits his children at the new birth with that footwear. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Believe it, my lonesome friend. God has something to offer you that will make defeat a thing of the past. John the Baptist would not blanch it before Herod. Stephen would not compromise with the establishment. Peter strode out of a purely kosher and ceremonial world toward the house of Cornelius, and the Gentile was welcomed. Matthew left the tables of arithmetic and finance and strode toward the upper room in personal Pentecost. Mark found a footing that gave him the ability to write the second gospel narrative. Mary outdistanced seven demons and reached the resurrection garden in the very shadow of the angels. None could have made it without the shoes the Father provides. That's why David forever praised God for the strength he found. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. And again, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. And again, our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. God knows what it will take for the journey. Now, you won't make it far in your own strength, mister. The trail is too rugged for the barefooted. This isn't the muck of a pig pen. This isn't the languor of the far country. This is a climb. You'll have to quickly move past the jealousies, the grumblings, the accusations, the snubs of the self-righteous. And there's no stop. You'll have to press forward every day. You'll falter without shoes. The bleeding, the cracks, the fractures, the sprains, the pricks, the infection will stop you long before you reach your goal. So first, thank him for his compassion and his kiss. And then, thank him for shoes. The Heavenly Father will put the go into your soul, and he'll help you travel farther and better toward his will for your life than Satan did when he dragged you toward the far country and the swine. So in these next 10 seconds, commit yourself to him. At every election, we discover this basic fact. A person must be registered to vote. My name must be in the book. Lots of people are going to forfeit their franchise. You're neglecting to register in God's book. Your name is not there. You never got around to exercising your God-given and Calvary-paid-for right. And I want you to correct that right now at this altar. Heavenly Father, there are names here in this broadcast congregation which should be entered in thy book. It is important that they should be found there, and that is why I have preached and labored. Receive these as they have received the gospel of thy Son, which I have preached. May they know instantly and by that witness that thou dost provide that they are registered voters. I thank thee for this gift of choice which thou hast provided for mankind. It provides the soul with eternal satisfaction to choose the salvation which thou hast offered. And I thank thee for the decisions made at this long, long altar. Amen. You'll find revival time fellowship strengthening and rewarding. And we want you very, very much to be a part of us. Let's see what God is doing at this great altar. Week after week, the Holy Spirit visits us in such a special and personal way. As your evangelist, I'm sensitive to the command of the Holy Ghost. Christ promised that he should guide us into all truth. I believe in divine guidance. And I believe Jesus is pleased to make a cancer disappear at this altar. The Holy Spirit is manifest to glorify Jesus. This is the only possible posture of the Son of God. He is glorified. He is present in victory, complete victory. The only Christ you and I can know is our glorified Savior. Thus he advances at this altar as conqueror. That cancer must go now. It cannot successfully contest our risen Lord. Begin to praise him for this revelation of his nearness and touch upon you. Proclaim his victory. Your body is his battleground. He is glorified in your healing. I know that Jesus Christ has come with healing in his wings to a child of his at this altar, just as he did with hot coals from the altar to Isaiah. I praise him with you for your deliverance from cancer. And to Jesus Christ be all the glory. Amen. Now, you've been meeting with a network fellowship of believers during the past half hour. It has been the broadcast portion of the Revival Time Ministries. We're joined by a common conviction, multiple thousands of us, from West Africa to Thailand, which has become our way of life. We believe it and we practice it daily, that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.